We're starting a new series today that'll carry us into the Advent season and tie in with the themes of Advent. And that's the series is about being peacemakers. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? And during that, we're going to look at a couple of interesting characters. Some of them from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament, who are examples of what it means to be a peacemaker. One of them is Esau. Esau was Jacob's twin brother. Esau is usually the villain in that whole story, and I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but there is part of that story where he is a perfect example of what it means to be a peacemaker. We're going to talk about Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son, who would have been next in line to be the following king after Saul. And he befriends a young shepherd boy who had come into the king's service, and that shepherd boy's name was David. And there's a remarkable story of their friendship and how Jonathan served as a peacemaker. But today we want to look at just kind of a broad sense of what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Now, without a doubt, I think we could all agree that the year 2020 has been a time of tension, turmoil, worry, concern, fear. I was realizing that 8 months ago to the date, on March 15th, was when we first shut down our services because of the COVID. And the following several months, up until June 15th, we were online. And I used to come in here. We first started recording out there, and then it would just be like Ronnie and I and somebody running the camera, and that was it. And you all were home. So it's just crazy to think. I never, ever dreamed, as probably most of you didn't, that we would be at this place here near the end of this year. And there is no doubt that, I mean, there is a lot of emotions running high in people. People have varying feelings. They have strong feelings about the COVID. They have strong feelings about masks and no masks. They have strong feelings about things being open or things being shut down. Obviously, people have had a lot of strong feelings and still have strong feelings about the recent presidential election. They have strong feelings about social issues. There's strong feelings about church, and there's just so much that is going on in our culture today. And sometimes the differences that we have and the concerns that we have turn into frustration. And frustration can turn into criticism. And criticism can turn into ill feelings toward others. And those ill feelings toward others can turn into spite. And spite can turn into anger. And anger can turn into hatred. And you end up with this snowball effect in our culture where there is just so much tension and anger and turmoil almost everywhere you turn. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of criticism and a lot of ill feelings and a lot of spite and a lot of anger and unfortunately a lot of hatred going around in these days. And into the midst of all of this, we find that Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. Now, there's a couple scriptures that are up here on the screen, and one of them is in Psalm 34, verse 14. It says, "Turn away from evil and do good." And it says, "Seek peace and pursue it." Seek peace and pursue it. So before Jesus ever came on the scene and gave the Beatitudes, where we find this call to be peacemakers, clear back in the Psalms, the psalmist was saying that we should seek peace and we should pursue it. And then in Proverbs 12, verse 20, it says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy." And I thought it's interesting that in both these Old Testament passages, it talks about seeking peace and planning peace. And so I think sometimes we think, well, God's just going to give us peace. And he does give us peace as a spiritual fruit, the peace that passes understanding. But when we're talking about relationships, we sometimes think, well, it's just going to happen. But Scripture says we have to seek peace, we have to plan peace, and as we'll see in a minute in Matthew chapter 5, we have to be peacemakers. Now, there's a passage that we'll look at a little bit later, more in detail, but in James 3, verses 17 to 18, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Now, I think it's interesting, if you look at that passage, how much of it is relational. It's describing people who sow in peace and who make peace. So again, these are active things that you do. You pursue peace, you sow peace, you make peace. But if you think about that passage, look at the relational things that are there. Peaceable. These are qualities of character. Peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. All of that has to do with relationships with other people. Impartial. So those people who are peacemakers, who sow seeds of peace, who make peace, who plan for peace, who pursue peace, are people who are peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and impartial. It's a relational aspect to being a peacemaker. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5, or you can take your Bible apps if you're more tech savvy than I am. I like paper, especially thin paper. I don't know why. In my house, every chair that I sit in, whether it's downstairs or upstairs, there's a pile of books beside it. Most of them I've not finished reading. Some of them I've only read a chapter. But there's something quite delightful in picking up a book and opening it up and turning the pages and reading. And that's why I love Scripture. And I take advantage of looking up things online, but I love paper. But you might love technology, like Napoleon Dynamite or his brother. Only a few of you will know that what I'm talking about there. Okay, let's get back to Matthew chapter 5. We refer to these as the Beatitudes. In all of these, Jesus is describing the person who is blessed by God. And he starts off in the third verse by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's those who are humble and see their own spiritual need and are willing to come to God. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Not just talking about mourning loss. I think he's talking about mourning over the brokenness and sinfulness of our own lives. And when we do that, we receive the comfort of God and his forgiveness. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That's interesting in contrast to the power of politics in our day and age. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." When we seek the right things, when we seek the things of God, we find satisfaction in our innermost being. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And then we come to verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And it concludes by saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus continues down through the rest of Matthew chapter 5 and into Matthew chapter 6 with what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. So, if we're talking about being a peacemaker, if you go on further in that chapter down into here we go, in verse 23, Jesus begins to work out what some of this looks like to be a peacemaker. And he says, if you're coming to worship and bringing your gift to the altar and you realize that someone has something against you, not that you have something against them, but you know someone has something against you, you go and make things right, and then you come back and continue your worship. That's that picture of reconciliation. And then later he talks about in verse 43 that, you know, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so Jesus begins to unfold a little bit and give us some pictures of what it means to be a peacemaker, to be reconciling with others, whether it's a conflict that we have with them or they have with us, loving our enemies. And he goes on, not only do we love our enemies, but we pray for them and pray for those who use us and who persecute us. So what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Let's unfold this a little bit. I think there's three key parts of being a peacemaker. And back in the summer when we were out, I think when we were outside, talked about holding on in peace. And part of that was the fact that every one of us needs to have peace with God. Every one of us needs to be at peace in our relationships with others. But every one of us also needs the inner peace of our heart when we're going through stressful times. This is a little bit different than this, but this is what it means to be a peacemaker. First of all, it means to actively seek to help others find peace with God. And that's the whole thing about building relationships with people. We can help them find peace with God. Someone put it this way: we need to be willing to go into the bottom of the pit with people to help them know the peace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to enter into their suffering. And I think we have a tendency, because we want to protect ourselves and we want our lives to be nice and comfortable, we don't particularly like to enter into someone else's suffering. And yet being a peacemaker means we need to enter into people's lives to help them find peace with God. We need to actively help others who are in conflict to bring peace between them. We need to be reconciling people together who are separated. Now that's a tricky thing. You don't just like butt into somebody's business and say, okay, you guys straighten up and I'm gonna work all this out for you. It's not that simple. But we need to, when we see people that we know, whether it's in our family, extended family, our church, our place of work, when we see people that are in conflict, to be a peacemaker means that we actively do what we can to bring peace between them, to bring reconciliation. And the third thing is that we actively reach out to someone with whom we have conflict. And that's that passage there in Matthew chapter 5. If you're coming to worship and you know that someone has something against you, you need to take the steps to make it right. So if you know that someone, you're in conflict with someone, to be a peacemaker means that you have to take the steps and to reach out to someone that you have conflict with, and you be the one to take the first step. Now, there's a difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. And I never really thought about that till I was doing some reading this week. Usually when we think of peacekeepers, you think of NATO. And you think of some African country that's been torn by civil war, and NATO sends in peacekeepers. And the role of the peacekeepers, basically, is to keep these warring parties from killing each other. They actually don't do anything to try to resolve the issue, necessarily. They don't try to do anything to make peace. They're just supposed to keep peace. And then hopefully somewhere in the time that they're keeping peace, people will work out their differences. So here's where being a peacekeeper is different than being a peacemaker. And I think when you see this, you'll understand why Jesus called us to be peacemakers, not necessarily peacekeepers. So several things here, and you should see them up there on the screen. Peacemakers try to manage their life out of fear of conflict. Peacekeepers try to manage life out of fear of conflict. So they want to make everyone happy. They want to keep the peace. And that's not necessarily the best thing, because it maybe doesn't address an issue, or doesn't help someone else come to wholeness, or doesn't help them grow and develop in their lives. But if we have the personality of a peacekeeper, you know, we don't want any conflict in our family. We don't want any conflict in our workplace. We don't want any conflict in our church. And conflict is not always bad, providing that there's a resolution that comes to wholeness. So peacekeepers want to make everyone happy. Peacekeepers believe in peace at any cost. And there's a danger in that, because we might compromise some of our own values and beliefs. We can compromise Scripture just to keep everybody happy and to keep the peace. Jesus never called us to keep the peace. He called us to make peace and to bring wholeness in the lives of others. Peacekeepers by personality tend to constantly walk on eggshells, trying not to upset anyone. Maybe you were that person in your extended family, or you can think of someone in your family that they're just always, they're wanting to keep everybody happy, and you just want to be careful about what you say, and you don't want to, you know, people to be upset with anyone. Peacekeepers try to hide their own feelings to prevent arguments. And so rather than dealing with the issue, they'll keep everything inside. Peacekeepers work hard to avoid and prevent conflict. So peacekeepers tend to be reactionary. There's conflict and there's tension, and they're going to react to it in some way. I think the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker is that peacemakers, from the biblical perspective, are called to proactively seek peace and to make peace with others. So here's some characteristics of a peacemaker. And I believe that when you look at the context of Scripture, you see how this fits into, and we'll be exploring this over the next coming weeks, but some characteristics of peacemakers. A peacemaker has God's peace. You cannot help someone else, truly help someone else come to peace with God or to bring resolution to conflict if they don't have the peace of God in their heart, if you don't have the peace of God in your heart. If you do not have the peace of God in your heart, it's hard to make peace with someone else or to bring peace into a situation. A peacemaker genuinely loves others. And you see this over and over again in Jesus teaching to his disciples. You know, they'll know that you are my followers or my believers because you love one another. By your love, you will be known. And there's this sense that if we're going to help other people come to peace with God, we have to love them. If we're going to help other people who are in conflict with one another come to peace, we have to love them. If we're going to help that person who maybe used to be a friend but isn't a friend anymore, or there's conflict or something happened, maybe it's a relative that you haven't spoken to. I read an article this past week, a guy who's a journalist at some magazine in Atlanta, Georgia, and 4 years ago at the election, he did not vote for President Trump. And all of his family disowned him. They unfriended him from Facebook. They didn't invite him. And he's talking about how he grew up with this extended family, that he went to all these family gatherings, that he went to his niece's birthday parties, and he did all these vacations, and now they wouldn't have anything to do with them. A peacemaker prays, and a peacemaker builds trust in relationships. There are so many fragmented relationships right now, maybe in some of your lives, with family that you haven't spoken to for a long time or neighbors that you don't get along with. A peacemaker genuinely loves others regardless of where they're at or what's going on in their lives. A peacemaker prays. You pray for people first before you decide that you're going to step in or say something or have a conversation. You pray for them. A peacemaker builds trust in relationships. A peacemaker controls his or her anger. A peacemaker speaks the truth with love. A peacemaker works toward resolution and reconciliation. And you see this perfectly exemplified in Jesus. It's talking about through his death on the cross, he broke down the barriers that separated people, the barriers that separated the Jewish people from all the rest of the ethnicities of that day and age who were lumped into one category of the Gentiles. Jesus broke down those barriers. And through the cross and through his death on the cross, he was reconciling broken, sinful people to a holy Father, but also he was reconciling people to each other. And over again in the New Testament, we see that we are to be characterized as people who, as much as is possible, I think that Paul writes that in Romans, we're to live at peace with one another. We're to be characterized by peace. We're to be peacemakers. Now back to this couple verses in James chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18, and we'll bring things to a close here. James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving." So godly wisdom is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What does a farmer have to do to get a crop? Just sit there and Google how to grow crops? And he might do that. No, he's got to till the ground. He's got to run the furrows in it. He's got to plant the seed in the ground if he's going to harvest what he planted. And it's interesting that James gives this picture here of peacemakers. Peacemakers are people who sow in peace. We invest in people's lives in peace. We say things and we do things and we act in certain ways that will promote peace. We sow in peace. And peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Sowing seeds of peace. So I want to ask you a question. In the past several months, whether it has to do with COVID, whether it has to do with your annoying neighbors in your neighborhood, if you have any of those, whether it has to do with politics, are you sowing seeds of peace? What seeds of peace are you sowing in your conversation with others? What seeds of peace are you sowing in your social media posts? I can't get over how many people tell me, you know, some of the horrible things that people post on social media. You know, because here's the thing. We'll say things on social media and we'll respond to posts, whether it's on a Facebook or Twitter or an Instagram, and whether we like it or we don't like it, or we unfriend people and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. We will post stuff that we would never, ever say face-to-face. That's true. People post stuff that they would, if they were in the room with you and you were having a conversation, chances are they would not say the same stuff that they're posting on social media. So the question is, are we sowing seeds of peace in our conversations with other people, in the things that we write, whether it's in an email or a Facebook post or whatever, are we sowing seeds of peace? Because what Scripture is saying is that peacemakers, those who are God's children, who fit into that picture and description of Matthew chapter 5, peacemakers sow in peace. They sow seeds of peace. I'm convinced that we don't need any more sowers of seeds of conflict. We've got it out there. We have it up to here, all the way around. We don't need more people to sow seeds of conflict. There's enough of that already. So I want you to think about this. God loves the people that you have issues with. God loves the people that you disagree with. God loves the people that you have bad feelings toward. They are important to Him. The same should be true of us if we are children of God, that we love people regardless of whether we have issues with them, regardless of whether we disagree with them, regardless if we struggle with bad feelings toward them. We should love those who are on the opposite side of the fence. We should love those with whom we strongly disagree, regardless of their current state of morality, regardless of their political views, regardless of their position on COVID, regardless of whether they wear masks or don't wear masks, they matter to God. And we need to learn or relearn that we should see others and value others and treat others as if they matter deeply to the God who loves them, because they do. Because they do. Jesus laid down His life. He died on the cross to make peace between God and a fallen, sinful people, and to bring reconciliation and peace between those who were once separated and who once were far off, not only from God, but far off from each other. Jesus gave His life to reconcile people with their Father. So my question is, as we think about being peacemakers and our call to be peacemakers, I mean, you think about that scripture, Jesus doesn't say, Blessed are those who attend church every Sunday, for they will be called the children of God. He doesn't say, blessed are those who put money in the offering, for they will be called the children of God. Now, those things are important. I'm not trying to downplay those at all. It's interesting that he says, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. How are we best identified in our world as being children of God? We're identified as children of God when we are peacemakers. So my question for myself and for you as we close this morning is, are we willing to lay down our rights, our privileges, our preferences in order to make peace? That doesn't mean we compromise our beliefs or we compromise our values. Don't get me wrong on that. But will we lay down our rights and our privileges and our preferences in order to make peace? To bring others to peace with God, to reconcile those in conflict, to restore relationships that have been damaged. As followers of Jesus, we are to take the first step. We are to be peacemakers because that is what children of God do. That is what children of God do. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you will forgive us for the times that, whether it's in our marriage relationship, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our church, in our community, in our nation, in our world, you will forgive us for those times when we cause strife and conflict, where we hurt others, and we realize that you call us to be meek. You call us to be merciful. You call us to be peacemakers. Help us to look for those situations in our lives, in our relationships, where we can help bring a person to a place where they put their faith and trust in Jesus and they're reconciled to the Father who loves them and they come to experience peace. Lord, help us in those situations where we see people in our families or in our places of work or our neighborhood or even our church, where we see people who are at odds and in conflict. Help us to pray and to seek ways that we can bring peace and reconciliation between those stressed and strained relationships. And then, Lord, I pray today that if there's somebody that you bring to our minds, even in this moment, that we've been distanced from, that the relationship has been strained, that there's been hurt, that there's been pain, help us to take the step to make peace with that person so that we might be reconciled and not carry around the pain or the anger or the resentment or the bitterness. May we be blessed because we are peacemakers. And may the world around us see that we are your children because we are peacemakers. We pray these things in your name. Amen.